In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today is the first Sunday after the glorious Feast of the Resurrection. And as we all know, this is called Thomas Sunday. And many of us, when we think of Thomas, the first thing that comes to our mind is what? Doubt. Yeah, everybody knows doubting Thomas. Why are you such a doubting Thomas? You know, we use that as almost like a curse, you know, these days. Like, when you want to tell somebody, you know, to stop doubting, you call them a doubting Thomas. And actually, to believe it or not, doubting Thomas is in the dictionary. I did a little search and I found out that in Merriam-Webster, it says a doubting Thomas is a habitually doubtful person, somebody who always doubts what people are saying and their motives and things like that. Many of us think that today is actually a day we remember and we kind of, you know, look down upon St. Thomas and how could he doubt the Lord Christ, and how could he ask to touch and feel. But actually, today is actually a feast. The church celebrates Thomas Sunday as one of the minor feasts. So is the church coming to celebrate this doubt? No, the church is actually coming to celebrate St. Thomas and who he was and his faithfulness. You know, St. Thomas was a faithful minister, and he was, of course, a disciple of the Lord. And he actually spread Christianity probably the furthest than all the other disciples. He went all the way to India. He went all the way east to India. So we're here to celebrate St. Thomas, not to really look at him and say, oh, how could you doubt? And actually, if we think about it and we consider, what was the reason that St. Thomas doubted? How could St. Thomas doubt? If you think about what happened, St. Thomas wasn't the only one that doubted. Actually, all of the apostles doubted. That's why after, you know, he died on the cross, the Lord died on the cross, they went up and hid themselves into the upper room. They were scared and they themselves doubted. It wasn't until the Lord appeared to them in his glorious body and revealed himself to him that they all believed. But it happened that St. Thomas was maybe just a week behind. He was a week late. He wasn't there that time, so he didn't see them. So as it might seem that everybody else is believing except for St. Thomas, but actually he believed when he saw as well. So when we condemn St. Thomas and say, oh, how could you, you know, not believe without seeing and this, actually all the apostles were like that, and to be honest, we're like that as well. And so St. Thomas didn't believe because at the time, people didn't rise from the dead. This wasn't very common. And actually, nobody had raised anybody from the dead for many hundreds of years. And then the Lord Christ came and they saw him raise somebody from the dead, the son of the widow of Nain. They saw him raise another person. Then they saw him raise Lazarus. So this person had the gift of God, or the gift to raise people from the dead. So when the people saw this person in whom there is nobody else like him, and they wanted to hail him as king, raising the dead, and then he himself died on the cross, then there's nobody else left among them that has this ability or this gift to raise people from the dead. So it wasn't something that was expected. It wasn't something that the disciples, nor did Thomas, expect. So doubting is not something that's uncommon to believers. All of us may seem, we don't want to say that we doubt, but many of us have some kind of doubts within us about our faith. It's very common among believers, and especially those around the late teenage years, 17, 18, 19, it's very common. And some of the questions that some people pose and some people doubt and come across is, how do I know that Christianity is maybe the true way? How do I know that this is the only way of salvation? And if God is a God of love, why is there so much suffering in the world? And does God always hear my prayer when I pray? Sometimes I feel he doesn't hear me. So a lot of us have doubts and have questions about these things in life. So doubting is not, uncommon. It's actually very common for all of us. And this doubting, it is confirmed by faith. It is strength. It is put out by a stronger faith. And every one of us has this journey of faith in our life that we have to answer to, and that we have to be convinced of and convicted of individually. It's something that a road that we go down by ourselves. Just because somebody else tells me something or believes in something, it doesn't mean that I necessarily believe in the same thing and feel the same thing. But it's something that all of us have to be convicted of and go down this road together. Individually. And oftentimes the doubts that young people have, even the older generation, that young people have is that they don't express it. They won't share with anybody. They feel that maybe I'm embarrassed to share my doubt, or I'll be looked down upon that, you know, or maybe they might say, you know, some people might say, how could you doubt, you know, hush and don't talk like that and things like that. And they'll be just shunned. Their questions won't be answered. So I want to encourage the parents today. If your kids, if you feel that they are doubt, be able to talk about it. Answer the questions together. If they're difficult questions, don't shut them off. Answer the questions together, because in all likelihood, you had the same questions growing up, and they may have not have been answered. So we have to answer those, and there's answers for all of these questions that I have said. And just today's not the time to do it, but there are answers for these. If you don't know, go look at it. There's a plethora of information on the internet. You have the servants, and you have the priests that you can ask. So there's many resources. So don't let the doubt just linger in your heart and in your mind. So how can, or can one, just a question before I, you know, talk about, you know, changing our doubt into an increasing faith. How is it possible for somebody to have strong faith and also doubt at the same time? Is it possible for somebody to have strong faith but yet still have doubts? If we look at somebody like David, David said, "Answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit." So David, we can all consider as being somebody who is very faithful. But sometimes when the going went, you know, got tough and things got, you know, very burdensome, he sometimes doubted God's presence, whether he heard me. "Hear my cry, O Lord," we hear often in the Psalms. So sometimes even the faithful people have these doubts. So it's not something that we should be like very surprised about, but we should address the issues. And even the apostles themselves, all of the apostles, they had some kind of doubt and they had some kind of fear. But Christ confirmed their faith and strengthened it. And another thing we have to remember is that doubt is not the same thing as disbelief. Doubt is not the same thing as disbelief. If we remember when St. Peter was on the boat and he saw the Lord Christ coming to him, and he told him, "Lord, if you're the Christ, let me come out and walk on the water." So the Lord said to him, come and walk. Then we read in Matthew's account, he says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" So St. Peter was walking on the water. Then he looked down, he took his eyes off the Lord and realized that he was sinking. And the Lord told him, "You know, why are you doubting?" But we don't hear anything else after that. And he picked him up and took him into the boat. Then we go to St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, and he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So here we see St. Paul rebuke and or tell us to beware that there's not this evil heart of unbelief. So you see the doubt of St. Peter, but then you see the unbelief that St. Paul is warning us about. The difference is doubt simply means that I can't believe. Given the circumstances, I just can't believe yet. And actually it comes from a Greek word, this verse in St. In Matthew's gospel, when he's speaking to St. Thomas, the word where he said is doubt is comes from the Greek origin is distazo, which basically means to waver in opinion. So to doubt just means to waver in opinion. The door isn't shut, but I just can't understand yet. But unbelief or disbelief is that I don't want to believe. I won't believe. And this is what St. Paul is telling us to beware of. And actually, this type of disbelief, or this type of doubt where it turns into disbelief, is coupled with hardness of heart. So somebody that has doubt and then hardens their heart, it turns into disbelief. But when there's maybe doubt and your heart is open and still open for the Lord to reveal His answer to you, and for you to accept, logic reasoning and things like that, then okay, you would accept these things and your doubt would be turned into faith. But when there's doubt coupled with hardness of heart, then it turns into this disbelief where I don't want to believe. And this is what Scripture warns us about. So disbelief is basically a willful rebellion, rejecting the truth. And actually, if you go through the Gospels, we never hear that the Lord Christ reprimanded somebody that doubted. He never told them, "How could you doubt? How dare you doubt? Who are you to doubt? Do you know who I am?" We never hear that. But He was always sympathetic with those who doubted and confirmed their faith so that their faith would be strong. So how can we transform, or how can I transform the doubts that I have into an increasing faith, into a growing faith? Number one, prayer for faith and understanding. So in order to change my doubts into an increasing faith, I have to pray about it. There's a story in the Gospel of St. Mark where a man had a son who was demon-possessed, and he came and asked the Lord to heal him, and the Lord asked him, "Do you believe?" And he told them something very beautiful that I think we can all use as a prayer in our life. It said, He said, "Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.'" He confessed to the Lord, "I believe, but there's just something that I don't believe. There's something that I can't quite understand yet. Help my unbelief." So anytime we have a certain doubt in our hearts, whether it be if God is active or whether He is present, let us pray this supplication to the Lord. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Can we say it together? "Lord, I believe, my unbelief." Very good. Very simple prayer that we can all pray when we're faced with doubts. And from this verse, we see that there is a little faith. He says, I believe, but. There's just a little bit of faith. And actually, St. Augustine put it very beautifully. He said, "I believe that I might understand. I believe that I might understand." So although there is doubt, yet I still with this doubt say, "Lord, I still believe in You. I still believe in Your goodness. Confirm my faith. Help my unbelief." But once we close the door and say, I don't believe and I don't want to believe, then we leave ourselves to many different ideas that can lead us astray. So the first thing we need to do to transform my doubt into an increasing faith is to pray about it. If there's any doubt, let's pray about it. The second is to know that God accepts us with our doubts. He accepts us with our doubts. Or He accepts us with our doubts. And as He accepted the apostles, and as He accepted St. Thomas, He will also accept me. And He will confirm my faith in due season. We hear about the apostles. You know, at the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew, in the last chapter, there's a part in there at the end of His Gospel called the Great Commission. And this is the instructions that the Lord is giving to the disciples after His, right before His ascension, and He is resurrected, appeared to them and everything. And He showed them all the proof. He showed His hands and they touched it and everything. And let's listen to what what the apostles, how the apostles replied. He says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus has appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. But some doubted. So even after they saw everything, it says that some doubted, but yet there's no rebuke here. Christ said to himself, I can maybe presume that he said to himself, okay, I will have my Holy Spirit confirm them in their faith. And I will grow with them in experience. They will learn to believe in me. And they will be confirmed and their doubts will vanish. So the Lord accepts us with our doubts. So don't feel that because I have doubts, I can't pray. I can't come and take communion. I can't come and have a relationship with God. Doubts shouldn't hinder that. But let it be your prayer that God transform this doubt into a strong and a firm, faithful foundation. Number three is to recognize our doubts and to address them or to search for the answers. So if we want to change our doubts into a stronger and increasing faith, we have to address them, recognize them. Don't just sweep them under the rug and say, I don't want to talk about them. And maybe if my child asks me about it, I'll tell them to hush because I don't know the answer. And that's one of the things that I swept under the rug. But no, recognize the doubts and address them. Search for the answers. And we have to realize as well that, okay, I have this doubt and that's my weakness. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with confessing or saying that actually I doubt in this particular area, but I'd like to, search for the answer. And I'd like to, talk about somebody. Let's see what this person has to say about this issue. Keep searching until you find that satisfactory answer that grants peace to your heart and confirms your faith. So we have to recognize our doubts and to search for the answers. Don't be content with just, writing God off altogether. Many people in this society, and this is something that's happening very commonly, especially in the atheist movement, people have a certain doubt, okay, how we see some poverty and, young children that pass and things like that. How could God exist? Therefore, he doesn't exist because of these evils. But we have to realize what comes with writing God off. We are left with no hope. If God doesn't exist, then what's the purpose of my life? What's the meaning of my life? And where will I go after death? It becomes the painting becomes very disfigured and it looks very grim if we just discard God altogether. And actually, I was just reading about Job. And, as we all know, Job was very wealthy. He had 10 children, a beautiful wife and everything. He was happy as can be. And then the devil began to test him. And God allowed that, all his livestock, his animals, his land and everything to be burned. And his children were in a house and the house burned and all his children died. And then his wife comes up to him and tells him the exact same thing. She tells him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. After he lost 10 of his children at one time. And then what does he say? He responds, you speak as one of those foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and shall we not accept adversity? So, despite all of this, Job was such a faithful person. He said to God, and you can read the book, he basically tells him, God, I believe in you, I followed you, but I just don't understand why all of this is happening to me. I was faithful to you all my life. I don't understand why this is happening to me. And this leads me to the next point. As we know, the end of Job's story is that God restored to him even more than what he had. So if we want to change our doubts into strengthening faith or growing faith, then we have to allow time. We have to allow God to work in his due time. We can't rush and say, because God doesn't restore me this by this time, I don't believe in God or I don't accept him. No, we have to let give God time to confirm our faith. still believe in him, still pray, still read your Bible, still partake of the Eucharist, and then God in due time will send you the answer to your doubts and will comfort your hearts. This is very clear also in this in the life of Abraham. Abraham, as we know, began his relationship with God where God told him, leave your father and your family's house and go to a land that I will show you. Fair enough, might not lose very much, you know, I'll miss my family, but I'll go. So he goes out and leaves. Then on his journey, he began to doubt and got a little scared, and he came before Pharaoh and a king named Abimelech, and he was a little scared for his wife because she was very beautiful, so he said, okay, I'm going to say that this is my sister, not my wife. So he began to doubt a little bit that God is going to take care of him. So he told them that Sarah was his sister. Then he tells them, okay, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And of course, we know how the story ended with God actually rebuked Pharaoh and Abimelech, and he was confirmed in his faith, and he kind of probably thought to himself, silly for me to ever doubt God that he would not take care of me. So he learned his lesson. Then he says, okay, I'm going to give you a son. So Abraham says, okay, Sarah's servants that maybe are still young and childbear, I believe it. And then God revealed to him that no, it's not going to be from the servants, but it's going to be from your wife Sarai or Sarah, who is well advanced in age. And actually, you know what they did? They both laughed. They said, he has to be kidding. I'm 80, 90 something, and she's the same age. She's way past the childbearing age. So they laughed at God. They had that little bit of disbelief, little bit of doubt. And then God, as we know the story, that he blessed her womb and she had Isaac. Then he came and told him, give me your son, sacrifice your son to me. Very difficult to do. Had God asked Abraham to do this from the beginning, he would have said, no way, no way. But he allowed God the time to work with him in his life, to experience God, and therefore he learned to trust him. So if we have these doubts, especially if we're young, 17, 18, God give you many more years and a long life, but you have many years ahead of you where God will teach you. I know God taught me, some of my doubts through school. God knows those painful final exams that I was writing between pass and fail, and God somehow blessed, put his hand in there, and I passed by his grace. So all of the students maybe can relate to this. So God, in every step of our life, and maybe the job that I didn't think I would ever get, or I wasn't even qualified for, that I got. So God will lend his hand, and you'll see his work in your life, and he will confirm your faith. Just give him time. The fifth and last point to transform our doubts into a stronger and growing faith is to touch the Lord Christ, to touch him. St. Thomas dispelled his doubts and confirmed his faith when he placed his fingers into the side of the Lord Christ. He touched him. He had this personal relationship with him. He experienced the Lord. He experienced him. If you were to ask me, okay, or I were to tell you, I have a son. You guys might say, okay, or I have a second son, just to make it interesting, because I think you all know I have one son. If I were to say I have another son, you would say, okay, prove it to me. So I say, I bring a birth certificate. I say, here's his birth certificate. See, I have a son. And you tell me, anybody can, forge a birth certificate. If they can forge a license, surely they can forge a birth certificate. And then I say, okay, then I'll bring you a picture. And say, here, this is a picture of my son. And you're going to be like, okay, how do I know that's your son? That could be anybody. You could have gotten that off of Google for all I know. How is it that's going to be the only way for me to prove to you that I actually have a son? It's for you to meet him. It's for you to meet him, to talk with him, Is this your dad? Yeah. See him coming running down the aisle. Daddy, daddy. That's how you know that he's my son. If you experience him, the same way with the Lord Christ. If we want to prove and dispel our doubts, we have to have we experience him. We have to experience him. We have to touch him. And this is, we touch him through the sacramental life of the church. We touch him through our prayers. We touch him through reading scripture. If we have doubts and we don't do any of these things, how do we expect to experience him? He's calling, but we're not answering. He's knocking, but we're not opening the door. So we have to experience him. The late Matthew the Poor said something very nice. He says, we can only know God by experience. We can't know God if somebody just tells us about him. It's nice. We know of him, but we don't know who he is unless we experience him. So as we consider our doubts, and as we consider the things that we don't know, let's take the things that we know, the things that we've experienced about God, and have faith in him to reveal to us and make known to us the things that are unknown, the things that we don't know, the questions that maybe are hard to answer, that maybe I don't know the answer to. So let's just review really quickly what we spoke about. Can one have doubts and faith at the same time? We said, of course, like David. And we mentioned that doubt is not the same thing as disbelief. Doubt just means that I can't, whereas disbelief means that I won't. And then how can I change my doubt into an increasing faith? We said first we have to pray about it. And you remember the prayer? Lord, Lord, I believe. اللحمه تقل ولا ايه ده احنا لسه صايمين المفروض Lord, help, I believe, help my unbelief. Two is to know that God accepts us with our doubts. Three is to recognize our doubts and search for the truth and search for answers. Four is give him time to confirm our faith. Let's not jump to conclusions or jump to convictions. Number five, we have to touch the Lord. We have to experience him. May God confirm our faith in him as we celebrate today St. Thomas and how his faith was confirmed in our Lord Jesus Christ. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.